Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grok Show. Tonight we are talking about the power of love to heal broken hearts and to prevent suicide. Thank you for joining us.
Joining us.
We're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Father God, we thank you for bringing us here together. Lord, whether we're listening live or someone's listening later in the rebroadcast of this, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would make me your instrument tonight, that you will speak to me and speak through me, that your word may go out to those who need to hear it, Lord. Pray that hearts will be open, ears will be open, that you will have a revelation for everyone listening tonight. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we're going to talk about grief. We're going to talk about broken hearts. And we're going to talk about the power of love, and specifically, the love of our God, Jesus Christ, to pull us out of that and to save us and to regenerate our hearts and to give us hope and love. The leading cause of suicide among teenagers is suicide, the leading cause of death. From ages 15 to 24, the leading cause of death. Things that happen include if a friend commits suicide, there's a death in the family. Being rejected by their friends or their peers. Feeling like they're worthless. Feeling like they can't succeed at school. Feeling like they're not loved. Watching violence at home. Parents divorcing. All of these things weigh on adults and burden us. How much worse is it for the young people who are dealing with these things? How many of you out there today go to school every day and are harassed and bullied and made to feel like you're less than a person? How many of you out there right now feel like you're worthless, feel like you're a failure, feel like there's no reason to live anymore? How many of you out there right now are carrying burdens and grief and despair around with you every day? And when we have these things, it's like you're carrying a huge boulder on your back. Like the weight of the world is on your back. And sometimes it feels like these things will never end. It feels like your struggles and your trials are just never going to end. And there's no hope in sight. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that's a lie. That's a lie that the devil wants you to believe. That you can't succeed. That it will never change. That things will never get better. It's a lie, because they do. And there's always a way out. And I came across a letter. And it was a very powerful letter about the power of a friend. The power of someone stepping outside of themselves and showing love for someone. And it goes like this. One day when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class was walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. And I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all of his books on a Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend plan, parties and a football game with my friend tomorrow afternoon. So I shrugged my shoulders, and I went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running towards him. They ran at him, knocking all of his books out of his arms, and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw his terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him, so I jogged over to him, and as he crawled around looking for his glasses, I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, "Those guys are jerks. They should really get lives." He looked at me and said, "Hey, thanks." There was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and asked him where he lived. As it turned out, he lived near me, so I asked him why I'd never seen him before. He said he had gone to a private school before now. I would have never hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried his books. He turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play football on Saturday with me and my friends. He said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. And my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with a huge stack of books again. I stopped him and said, "Damn boy, you're really going to build some serious muscles with this pile of books every day." He just laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, began to think about college, Kyle decided on Georgetown, and I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, that the smiles would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor, and I was going for business on a football scholarship. Kyle was the valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation, so I was glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than me, and all the girls loved him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous. Today was one of those days. I could see he was nervous about his speech, so I smacked him on the back and said, "Hey, big guy, you'll be great." He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful one, and smiled. "Thanks," he said. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. "Graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. I am here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. I'm going to tell you a story." I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. He had planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and was carrying all of his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave a little smile. Thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard the gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth. Never understood the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life, for better or for worse. God puts us all in each other's lives to impact one another in the same way. Look for God in others. Wow. As I read that, I teared up because we go through life and we meet people here and there. We talk to people in school. We talk to people out on the street. We may be online, IMing each other, talking on Facebook, but never do we realize the great impact that our words have. Our words can kill, and our words can save. And when you're at that weakest moment, God will put someone in your life. God may have you listening to this very show right now because you need that hope. And no matter what you're going through, no matter how bleak it is, God will provide for you a way out. And He right now is standing and knocking at the door. And all He wants from you is a relationship, for you to converse with Him, for you to be His child. He wants so much to be your friend, to be the best friend that you've ever had. And even right now in life, you may not have any friends. And even if you don't, God is still there. He is ready to pick you up. He is ready to heal your heart. There is always hope, no matter what the situation is.
To keep this up, all the work that you do, so we think that you're good, and we can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you build up. love are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now.
Go to the Bible and see what the Bible tells us about love. John 15:13 tells us, and I'm going to read this from the New International Version, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Another one is, "No one shows greater love than when he lays down his life for his friends." And in Romans 5:7 it tells us, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die." Okay? So if loving someone is, you would lay down your life for them. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:4-13, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is a powerful thing. And we learn love through many ways in life. We learn it through our parents, our parents loving us. Sometimes that doesn't happen. So we might learn it from a close friend showing us love, or a relative. But we really learn what love is, what true love is, by looking at Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Jesus came and died for us. He came and he laid down his life so that you and I could be free. And we love him because he first loved us. And God loved his creation so great that he came and he died for it. He lived a life, and everything he did while he was here was for someone else, was caring for someone. The Bible says many times he was moved with compassion. He cared. His life was about others. It was about showing us how we can live. And Proverbs tells us hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. So right now, you might be saying, I don't know what love is. No one loves me. No one cares about me. I go to school, I get picked on. My parents are morons. Yes, sometimes people will fail us. But God is always there with open arms. He says, if we seek him, we will find him. He said, knock and the door will be open. So if you're in a position right now where life is difficult, where life is hard, where you're just feeling down, where you're feeling hopeless, put God to the test. All you need to do is pray to God. Ask him to come to you. Ask him to show you that he is there. Ask him to reveal himself to you. And he will do that. He is faithful. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But he wants everyone to know him and to have a relationship with him. And it's truly an amazing love.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you're my King?
praise your name, Lord. There's a website, and it's thefathersloveletter.com, and there's a poem there, and it's composed from the promises that God has given throughout the Bible. And I encourage you to check it out, fathersloveletter.com. And every line in this poem is based on a promise that God has given to you and to me about how much He loves us. And I'm going to play this for you right now.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you. And He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you.